You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making this part of your daily grind. Monday through Friday, we are here for you. This is the Wednesday podcast. And on this Wednesday, you've got us, the Rain and Jays, me, John Corrales of MassLive.com, and the kid, Jay King of The Athletic.
Who is currently doing quad exercises to strengthen the area around the knee.
Comeback season is in full effect. Jay King.
I can't even waste time when we're on the podcast. I got to be always working toward this comeback.
Yeah, I feel like now this would be the time I should probably edit in like some Rocky music and get that good kind of inspirational Jay King training montage, getting back into things so you can go out there and miss a bunch of threes in a men's league.
I'm more like if Paulie was training though.
Oh, God. Okay, we're going to be talking about Kyrie Irving maybe getting a little... Let's start the Kyrie Irving MVP talk. We're going to start that conversation on this podcast. We'll also talk a little bit about Al Horford and the hilarious timing of a rest day for Al Horford. But we will start with the Memphis Grizzlies and their sudden inclination to listen to trade offers for Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, which could impact the draft pick that the Celtics have from them. Now, the Celtics pick, if you haven't heard, if you're not aware, they have the Memphis pick this year protected 1 through 8. So if the pick falls anywhere 1 through 8, Memphis keeps it. And then we go to next season where it's protected 1 through 6. And if it falls somewhere 1 through 6, Memphis keeps it and goes to the next season, which would be unprotected. So right now, Jay, they're looking at fielding offers for these two guys. It seems like they're finally ready to blow it up. It seems like they're finally ready to move forward. Do you see this as a good thing for this pick?
Yes. 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 Because right now, you know, let's say the Grizzlies had been pretty good this year and they conveyed the 10th pick. It's an okay pick. If they trade Gasol and Conley, which triggers a real rebuild and get young, all of a sudden that pick has a potential to maybe be the number one pick in a couple of years. And that's obviously there's a lot that will go into it. As we've seen with the Kings, draft picks can be fickle, but to me, this really raises the ceiling on what the Grizzlies pick could become and probably boost the value of that pick for other teams that Boston might shop it to.
Now, do you think, so obviously this now changes a little bit of the dynamic of what Boston's really angling for, which is the Anthony Davis bonanza over the summer. This pick has the potential, like you said. So if it doesn't convey this year, then it does have the potential to be a very valuable piece to that Anthony Davis trade. But now, I guess another question would be, is that a pick that you now would want to try to keep? Because in 2 years, that could be a, like you said, potential number one pick.
If you can use that pick, which could become God knows what, to get Anthony Davis, you move it. you punt it if you need to. you drag it to New Orleans by yourself, crawling with it on your back, whatever you need to do.
So I let this twice. You've not even let me finish the scenario. You're just.
I see where you're going. I'm in the middle of quad exercises now. My brain is just flowing tonight.
Are you doing quad exercises right now?
No, I'm all done. I'm all done with those. But now the brain's really flowing.
So okay, so you got the juices. You're amped. You're ready. You are not only not bored. You are the opposite of the, you're just amped.
Yeah, I'm on the comeback trail, baby.
So there is significant value to what Memphis is trying to do. Have you given any thought to any potential Memphis trade scenarios? Do you think there's any teams out there that make sense?
Yeah, those two guys are weird because to me, a team has to think that it's the last piece because those guys are so expensive.
They are.
And if you're going to commit to them, then it's a big commitment. And so it either needs to be you're giving up bad money and picks and just trying to hope for the best because those guys, they're not elite players. Like, they're not top 15, top 20 players. Mike Conley, as good as he's been, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league, has never made an all-star team. Gasol, I think, is 34, and he's, you know, past his prime. So those guys are still really good, and I think they could really impact teams, but their situations are weird to me. I do think Memphis should have moved on from them earlier.
Yeah.
And especially Gasol. Like, last year, Conley was hurt the whole year. They should have tried to trade him then before he got another year older and before things had disintegrated further for them.
Well, I think Memphis – when you're Memphis, you have to the approach in Memphis is just not the same as it is in Boston. Boston, you hit the button on a rebuild. You know the fans aren't going anywhere. Even if attendance drops a little bit, if you have like the worst years like they did in the 90s, it comes back. There's really no fear of that. But for a team like Memphis, they tend to hold on to guys too long because that's their ticket. That's their selling point. That if you have to go through another rebuild in Memphis, those fans they don't want to have a team that's struggling. A lot of fans in these smaller markets, they're happy to just have a team that's sort of good. Good enough is good enough for a lot of people. They want to go see some playoff teams. Maybe you make a run, but it's not the same. It's just not the same mentality. But
that's fair. And I will say that there's something to the fact that trying to be good is an admirable goal.
Right.
Like think how tough it is to actually contend for championships and to have a team. It's either like the last 5 years, you've either had to have LeBron and other stars, or you've had to be the Warriors. Like, right. that's how good you have to be to have a chance at a championship. If you haven't had those things, you've had no shot. And
True.
It's so tough to build that. And so sometimes, yeah, like the grit and grind era, that's one of my favorite eras of any recent team.
Right. And it was a lot of fun. Like, and it was, and for people in Memphis, that they enjoyed that. They got a lot of enjoyment out of that team. And that's what sports is. We are spoiled in Boston. We've become spoiled. Big market teams with money to spend and all that. We have a mentality here that if it's not a championship, then it's not worth it. Which, I get it. And that's how we approach all sports. We look at it as every move that is made, it's how does this impact our potential to win a championship? But like I said, for Memphis, for other small market teams, for teams that are historically just not contenders, you try to make these draft picks and build organically a team that can ultimately become a contender. But if the net result is you're a playoff team, you make it to the semifinals and you're consistently a threat to get into, you know, second round or whatever, that for those fans, man, they get behind those teams. The owners make money off of the playoff tickets. The fans enjoy the teams. They really get behind them, and that's like I said, it's just a different mentality. I'll throw out another scenario here that also involves the Celtics, kind of tangentially, is the New Orleans Pelicans making a move for, say, Mike Conley in an effort to keep Anthony Davis. So we're talking about that Memphis pick being valuable for an Anthony Davis trade. What if the desperate New Orleans Pelicans, who are in the very same boat as Memphis, who have a fan base that they struggle to fill the seats, and they're desperate to hold on to Anthony Davis because he's the only guy there that helps them fill the seats. What if they make a move and they send a package out to get Mike Conley and try to build around Davis and say, hey, look, stick around. We got you. We got Drew Holiday. We got Mike Conley now. That's a hell of a threesome to go out there, and we put some pieces around it, and now we're on our way to contending.
If you want – look, I'm not saying the Pelicans won't try to do that. The Pelicans, to me, like, they're obviously in a desperate situation. The time is ticking on them. But if I were Anthony Davis, and I don't know what he'll decide, but if I were Anthony Davis, acquiring an older non-All-Star is not going to get me to change my mind.
Right.
Whatever that decision is, that's not going to impact things.
Well, I mean, maybe, but New Orleans is still desperate, and they're gonna try something. They are buyers at the deadline. In the next couple of weeks, the trade deadline is February 7th. They are actively going to be trying to get somebody, do something in an effort to keep Anthony Davis. His representation has not pushed for a trade at the deadline. They're not trying to be disruptive now. They're biding their time. It seems like they're giving a chance to the New Orleans Pelicans to make a move. And who knows? You have your way of thinking. I have my way of thinking. But who knows what Anthony Davis is thinking? And if he has some semblance of loyalty to New Orleans, maybe you don't think it's enough. But they're trying like hell to do something to convince him to stay. He's their meal ticket. They gotta convince him to stay. I can see them making a move here.
Yep. They've had many years.
Many years. We'll watch for that. But in the meantime, we've got a lot more coming up here with the Boston Celtics. Coming up after a short break, Al Horford, who spent a lot of time after the win over Miami, there was a lot of conversation about how much his minutes were going to be great and how much he's playing all these extra minutes and it's awesome. All of a sudden, he's got a rest day. We'll talk about that when we come after the break. We'll come back after the break. Remember, if you've got a smart speaker, whatever smart speaker it is, wake it up and ask it to play podcast. And then your favorite podcast, which would be Locked On Celtics, of course. Wake it up and ask it to play podcast. Locked On Celtics, or whatever other podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Wake it up, ask it to play podcast, whatever, and it will do it for you. We're coming right back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Let the bass kick. Let the bass kick. Let the bass kick.
There was a great moment on Twitter today where the Boston Celtics tweeted out a picture, I think it was Daniel Tice, on a squat rack saying no days off.
No, it was Horford.
Oh, was it Horford?
It was Horford, yeah.
I missed that. I thought it was Daniel Tice.
Oh, it was Horford. That's the best part about it.
That was Al Horford. I'm scrolling down and said to see it. that makes it even better. I didn't even realize it was Horford. So they said no days off, and then the next tweet is Al Horford is out tomorrow. Did they delete the tweet?
They did delete the tweet. That's hysterical. They deleted the no days off tweet.
Oh,
shouts to the Celtics.
God, that is amazing. That is amazing. Because I know I.
Good thing we all got photo evidence.
It was Al Horford. So that is amazing. I'm looking at Chris Forsberg had the photo. So Boston Celtics tweeted out a photo of Al Horford squatting or doing some sort of leg exercise. I can't even see it. And said, no days off. And literally 8 minutes
looks like
later,
deadlifts. Have you ever been to the gym before, John? It looks like a deadlift to me.
I'm looking at the top half of the tweet.
As a man who is just doing quad exercises, I know.
Jay, you
I can
were
spot
doing
these
quad
exercises?
I didn't realize you were doing quad exercises today. I'm looking at the Chris Forsberg tweet, and all I see is Al Horford's shoulders, and he's standing there. I had no idea what he was doing. And it says, so 8 minutes later, Al Horford rest is out tomorrow. Okay, that is just an all-time classic. That's amazing. And the Celtics deleted the tweet. Oh, so great. So it's funny. And of course, they're giving him this day off because it's the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have lost.
There are no days off, John.
Right. 16, unless you're doing quad exercises. 16 of 17. Go ahead, say it.
He'll probably do some quad exercise tomorrow, just like the kit.
16 of 17, the Cavaliers have lost. They have 9 wins. The Celtics should be able to handle the Cavaliers without Al Horford. That gives him 3 days off. Of course, there's a practice.
Yeah, and the Celtics have done this before where they've tried to schedule guys days off to maximize the time off they actually get.
Yeah.
So this is the first time they'll have 2 days between games for more than a month. And so giving him this day off just maximizes the time that he doesn't have to play a game. And he's played in 16 straight games since coming back from the knee injury. He's off the minutes restriction. He's playing well. He's moving like Al Horford should move. So all good signs there. I doubt this is a hint of trouble. I suspect this is just something that they planned for a while, especially after Aaron Baines got back, to give Horford a night off against a bad team with time to rest and time to meet the Warriors.
Yeah, so I would expect maybe like this would be the last game where maybe Robert Williams is available, and maybe they get Robert Williams a little bit of NBA time before sending him down to the G League to get some extended run with the G League. Brad Stevens did say but that was the plan for Robert Williams. So it makes sense. It makes sense. It just the timing is amazing because after the Miami game, Brad Stevens was asked about Al Horford, and he said it's because he's playing well because of the extra minutes that he's getting. And Al Horford in the locker room was like, yeah, I'm getting all these extra minutes. I feel great. There's no restrictions. I'm playing like, of course, yeah, I feel good. I'm out there. The plan worked, and I feel awesome. And then the next day, it's like, yep, take a day off. So
yeah, the plan, the cautious plan continues. And I'm like, damn, man, I wrote the story about how good Horford's feeling. And all I did during their game the other night was just watch him. I watched him the entire game against Miami. I was like, wow, that's the best I've seen Al Horford move. And, you know, he was blocking Whiteside and yep. going coast to coast and got a ton of offensive rebounds. Had some nice plays in the passing lanes. Like he was phenomenal. And then, so I write the story about how great he's feeling. He tells me he has no pain, and then the day off.
That's awesome.
Like, damn, Al, damn. Come on, Al.
That's so funny. I thought, yeah, he had a spectacular game against Miami. That block, like you mentioned on Whiteside and bringing the ball up the floor and then hitting Kyrie with that pass. That play was just gorgeous. And then I broke down on Mass Live, shameless plug, the last few minutes, last couple minutes where Kyrie was getting got those 3 layups and how Al Horford was instrumental just by being on the floor and opening up passing lanes. And it just goes to show the importance of Al Horford, not just by doing all of the things that we say that he does, it's just being the threat out there. That Bam Adebayo, who can jump through the roof and loves to block shots, was completely neutralized on those 3 Kyrie Irving layups and had no chance at challenging any of them because he was too worried about Al Horford. So that is an important element to have. Now, of course, the rest comes against the Cleveland Cavaliers because the Golden State Warriors are coming in for a game Saturday night at 8:30. And that's going to be a huge, huge game. We know that the Celtics are playing. They play up to competition like this, and they really like to show what they have in these national televised games. So having Al Horford against the Warriors and Boogie, assuming Boogie plays, is going to be obviously very important. But that they're resting him because that day off and 2 days off afterwards, the first consecutive days off, by the way, since mid-December, since before the Phoenix game where Aaron Baines broke his hand. That's how long ago it's been. To get him those 3 days off to go into the Warriors game, that's the plan. It's huge.
It's been dumb long.
Dumb long. No practices. Not a single practice. All walkthroughs. Just all simple, low-key walkthroughs. Not a single hard practice since December, 18th?
No days off.
No days off.
Just no practices.
Oh, God. All right. So so that's Al Horford. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap it up with Kyrie for MVP discussion. Not really MVP, but at least some MVP buzz. And he deserves it. And we'll talk about it when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Kyrie Irving is having probably, I don't even think I need to couch it, his best season of his career. He has averaged more points in the past, but not this efficiently. He's shooting 50% from the field for the first time in his career. His 41.3% is just a tick under his career high from three. He's shooting almost 55% from two. He is playing out of his mind. He's passing. His assist rate is at a career high by a nice – oh, wait. Sorry, not his rookie year. Matches his rookie year. But his assist rate is very, very high. He is having a season that has been unlike any other season. And then you throw in the defense on top of it, and he's been playing out of his mind. Because I think, Jay, the Celtics have been disappointing, people aren't talking about Kyrie in the MVP conversation. But do you think that he should be at least in the conversation?
So first of all, I think the conversation is the dumbest conversation anyone can have.
Thanks.
I truly believe that. And yes, we are podcasting about it. But to me, it's like, okay, James Harden is the NBA MVP right now. He's averaging like 900 points over his last 30 games, and he's dragging the Rockets to win.
I feel like that's a very high number.
And, yeah, well, that's pretty much what he's done. And if it's not him, it's probably Giannis or Kawhi or somebody. But to me, like, if you want to talk about or Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry might be playing as well as he's ever played, which is saying a lot whenever he's been healthy. But if you want to talk about does Kyrie deserve to be on the ballot, and I think there are five spots on the ballot, then yes. Yes, Kyrie deserves consideration for that. He's not in Harden's category. I wouldn't put him in Giannis's category. I wouldn't put him in Steph Curry's category. But he's on a tier that's pretty close to what those guys have done. Like, Kyrie has been a joke, especially lately. He has lifted his game, and you can see teams kind of start to overreact to what he can do. And maybe it's not even overreacting because he's averaging 42 points per 36 minutes in crunch time on 50% shooting from the field and has just been utterly ridiculous down the stretch.
That's such an insane number.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's third among players who are like actually have real roles behind James Harden and Kemba Walker, who are both averaging 45. but Kyrie's done it a lot more efficiently. Actually, he's at 50%. Those guys aren't even close. So although Harden's probably got a million free throws to make up for that. But anyway, like, down the stretch, just been ridiculous. His splits are ridiculous. Last time I checked it, since Marcus Smart got moved in the starting lineup, the Celtics had a 15 plus 15 net rating with Kyrie in the lineup, which is a joke. Like that's a joke. That's just about the level Stephen Curry was at, or the Warriors were at with Stephen Curry when he won the unanimous MVP and they won 73 games. So he's been really damn good. And you know, he had 8 steals, and it's been neat to watch the crunch time execution kind of change, because as I said, I do think teams are starting to overreact to Kyrie, like, holy God, this guy might decimate us. And he's kind of also developing that Harden LeBron thing where he's getting the switch he wants and then just roasting people. And sometimes that switch, like he was hunting Mike Conley on switches against the Grizzlies. Like, Mike Conley is a good defender, and he was hunting Tyler Johnson against the Heat, and Tyler Johnson is a rugged, rugged man. but Kyrie, kind of no matter what people has done, he's had an answer. So yes, I believe he deserves to be put on the ballot, but Harden is just, to me, just on another planet from anyone involved in the conversation.
It's funny that you so deride the conversation, yet you just had the conversation with yourself by naming off 6 guys who could be MVPs. That's what the conversation is.
You're no, like, there's only one. There's only one. At this stage, there's only one. James Harden.
Oh, so Giannis is absolutely just so... Harden has so far surpassed Giannis?
At this stage, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm in agreement. Like, it's Harden is the MVP at this point. Like, his recent stretch has been out of this world. And I'm certainly not disagreeing with the fact that Harden is the MVP. I just think it's funny that you said
okay.
The conversation.
Let me phrase this another way. We're having the MVP conversation, talk about Kyrie Irving. Do you think there's one person who covers the NBA who would vote Kyrie number one for MVP right now?
One person? Oh, yeah. There's one person.
Who?
Oh, I mean, Tommy Heinsohn. There's one person.
But honestly, there's no one out there.
That's your answer. He has a vote, and he will vote. Or does he have a vote?
There's no one out there who legitimately believes right now that Kyrie Irving should be the MVP. So that's why, to me, the conversation is wild.
Here's my point. Because it's still January, and
I also like to yell at clouds sometimes.
Yeah, of course. I know you do. You're the oldest young guy I've ever met.
I get salty.
You very much get salty. You're very much a get off my lawn guy sometimes, much more than me, and I'm 30 years older than you.
At least,
probably 40. The point of this is that James Harden is the right now clear front runner for MVP. However, Giannis was the absolute clear front runner before that run. So conversations change. And the point of having the conversation throughout the season is to throw in the name. Say, okay, now you start talking about Kyrie Irving and saying, wow, you know, he really is having a season that's very, very good. And it's not as good as James Harden's season. Okay, fine. It's maybe not as good as some of these other seasons, like you mentioned. Fine. But, by having the conversation now, what happens in February if James Harden tails off? What if he hits a slump for some reason? What if he gets hurt and all of a sudden he misses too many games to be considered for the MVP? And voters start to say, you know what? He had a great stretch up until January, but then he missed 2 months, and now I really can't consider him. That's why you have the conversation.
Then we could have the conversation. But we don't have to have the conversation absolutely right now when no one in their right mind would name Kyrie Irving the MVP.
It's not even just to say that he should be the MVP. I'm not even saying he should be the MVP right now. I'm saying that it's good to have the conversation to say, hey, by the way, Kyrie Irving is having a season that is at least somewhere in the top 5 or so seasons being had right now. So by starting this conversation, now he's in the discussion, and should other guys start to tail off, or should the Celtics, and I think he is a victim of Boston's disappointing start, If the Celtics start to turn it on and he continues to do these things, and Boston now goes from the fifth seed to the third seed to the second seed or challenging, and Kyrie is still doing these things, now you start to wonder, okay, he's having this season. If the other guys tail off, now that conversation gets louder and he starts to rise in the ranks. It's
what's funny about the conversation is that he got a lot more MVP buzz at the beginning of last season just because the Celtics won a 16 game winning streak when he's actually been a lot better this season.
That's true. But that goes to show about results, things that are maybe out of his control that Kyrie has been phenomenal, but some of the stuff that happened earlier in the season, he kind of can't help. Like, he can't tell Jason Tatum to stop taking those mid-range jumpers. That had to kind of happen organically. And
I think he probably did tell him to stop taking those mid-range jumpers, though.
He couldn't physically stop him without blocking the shot. So, but anyway,
he has gotten better at defense lately.
Kyrie?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, he's been playing some decent defense this whole time. I got to be careful not to overstate how good he's been playing defense, because there was a play in last night's game against the Heat where I think he was having a conversation with the Heat bench and he just kind of fell asleep and was guarding nobody. And the play resulted in a Miami three. I forget exactly what point it was, but I was rewatching the game and I saw Kyrie in the first half. He was having some sort of conversation, was sitting in the corner, and then people are yelling, "Kai, Kai, Kai." And he kind of got lost. But so he has his lapses, he has his moments, but his defense compared to especially where he was in the past, prior points in his career, he's certainly playing much better defense. So when you
trying consistently matters.
Yeah,
it really does.
Absolutely.
Like that sounds like the most obvious thing in the world, but if you go from not trying all the time to trying most of the time, it really matters. And he's blocked big guys sometimes, or like altered big guy shots by sliding over and just putting his hands up. And it won't always work, but sometimes it does. And so Kyrie making his way into the MVP conversation.
J. King, who hates conversations in general, does not like the MVP conversation specifically.
I just don't get why we have the MVP conversation.
It's just a way to talk about how good he is, man. You just go with it.
No, I will not just go with it, John.
Stop being bored and just go with it, you salty prick. Work with me here, Jay. I'm trying to do a podcast for the people.
I wasn't ready for that. That caught me off guard. I liked it. Well done.
All right. We're gonna leave it there. I want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast. If you're a new listener, I hope you have enjoyed it enough to subscribe. We definitely enjoy the new listeners. You guys are great. We love to have people sampling. I've seen people tweeting about it. We hope that you have enjoyed the podcast. We like to have fun with it. If you are a regular listener and a subscriber, give us that 5-star rating. Give us that good written review. It works for us. It helps us out on the iTunes. That's a big deal for us. So please do that and share the podcast. Tell your friends. Spread the word. Tell everybody they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked On Celtics.
Sometimes I wonder just how salty I come off. I think I come off like an old man just hating on everything, when really I take joy from most things.
Yeah, you're a lot happier of a person than you seem sometimes on the podcast.
That's probably a pretty good way of putting it.
I see you all the time. And you're always happy. You walk into the media room. You're like, "Hey, what's up?" And you're having a great time. You're always laughing with people. But on the podcast, you are a salty prick sometimes.
See the rant. I have fun with the rants, so I just get going.
Yeah.
And then I forget that everybody listening just hears the rant and doesn't see me smiling over here like a little idiot.
You generally have a smile on your face. You're generally a positive person.
Gotta be positive.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about the MVP conversation. Then you blast mofos.
Then you just crap all over everything.